Thanks very much, Bertie, for your welcome. I seem to remember a situation like this before, some time ago, with me up here and yous down there. So the clock has went round a bit and these things happen, but it's good to be able to come over and share with you the Word of God. Brian rang me, must have been a month or maybe a wee bit more before Christmas, and said to me about coming over to help out in these midweeks. And so I began to turn over in my mind what I was going to talk about or think about. Had to look back to make sure I didn't repeat something I'd done before. And but that's what you do, isn't it? You need to get the mind of the Lord and think about what His will would be and what His word would be. And that's what I've been doing, especially just after Christmas, trying to get settled in my mind what we're going to think about these three Wednesday nights, God willing. And after considering a number of things, I thought about the Lord Jesus Christ as a preacher. And the many times He preached, and I was reminded that it says of Him that never man spake like this man. He was the eternal Word. And I began to put that together. And what I want to do the next three Wednesdays, I've called it the messages of the Master, or the Master's messages. And we want to listen to Him, not so much to me. We want to listen to Him. Because when we begin here at the beginning of the New Testament, you remember when He was identified by John the Baptist there, and John identified that the Messiah had come, and it was there that He began His ministry, His earthly ministry. And for the next 3.5 years, He carried out that ministry, and He preached many great messages. I'll never get over half of them in these three weeks. But I want to do one each Wednesday. And we think of the messages He preached. You remember the great Mount of Olives discourse? He preached the Sermon on the Mount. He preached many great truths there. You remember that He preached on one occasion when the multitude was so great and they had no intention of going away, that the disciples had to find food for the multitude, and He fed the multitude with 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. And then I remembered that the discourse, the farewell discourse, or the farewell ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's a great portion of Scripture, particularly in John's Gospel. It begins with Christ and His disciples in the upper room at Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. And right from chapter 13, right through until they left the upper room and then made their way in. And you remember He preached on the way that great message about the vine and the branches. And then He went on in and He preached about the Spirit, the one who had come to take His place, the Comforter. And right on to chapter 17, where we find Him in Gethsemane. So those are many great messages. But we want to take 3 of them, and I want to bring a message to you tonight, the Master's message, from a portion in Matthew's Gospel. And it's there that we find those messages that He preached on that Sermon on the Mount. And the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus underlines the standards and principles of righteousness for those who belong to the kingdom, those who are His followers. And we find as we travel through that message that He challenges them about their attitude and principles in life. And I want to just pick out a little bit tonight. We're at chapter 6. I'm sure that maybe Stephen or somebody else has gone through this verse by verse. Well, it's not a verse by verse exposition, But the chapter, the passage I want to look at is chapter 6. And we read at verse number 19 through to near the end. Lay not up for yourselves treasure upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is in the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, the whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. We know that God will bless the reading of his word. Just want to say just one or two things about what's from the beginning of the chapter, and then get on to this part that we want to think about tonight. The part that we want to focus on tonight is from verse 25 through to verse 32. But let me just mention one or two things as we get to there. As we look at this chapter and this part of the message, we find that the Lord Jesus, at the beginning here, he speaks to them about the hypocrisy of the Pharisees. He says at the beginning of the chapter, take heed that you do not your righteous acts or alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise ye have no reward for your Father which is in heaven. Therefore when thou doest thine alms, do not stand, sound a trumpet before thee as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. And he's speaking to them, first of all, about the hypocrisy of the Pharisees. Whether it was giving to the poor, whether it was praying or fasting, they did what they did to be seen of men and to receive the applause of men. These people coveted the praise and the adoration of men. And so that's something I think we need to watch in life, because the Lord Jesus is very strong here in this part of the chapter about doing things to be seen of men. A hypocrite is a person who puts on a show, who puts on an act, who pretends to be something he's really not. So he gives a little word to the hypocrites there, the Pharisees. And then we find as we go on, we see the sincerity of the worshippers when we move on. He says in verse 4 there, that thine eyes be as secret, thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. But he says, thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet and shut thy door and pray to thy Father in secret, and thy Father that seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. And so he's teaching the people here about the principles they need to behold and the things they need to put in order as far as their Christian life and walk of righteousness is concerned. When we go on down the chapter, we see he turns from hypocrisy, praying or doing something else to be seen of men, and he goes on there about idolatry. He says in verse 19, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. And what the Lord Jesus is saying here to the people that he's speaking to, he says, you know, don't be seeking to gain and lay up treasures upon earth. There's nothing wrong with having a good job or a nice home or something like that, making a success of your life. There's nothing wrong with that. But he says, don't make it everything you're living for. What he's saying is, live your life with eternity's values in view. My, don't be living for time. Live for eternity. Live with eternity's values in view. My dear friends, the Lord is speaking about our priorities here. About our priorities. And we need to get our priorities right. And what he's saying to them is this. That as we follow him, that we need to put God first in our lives. And I need to challenge myself about that. And I trust that you'll challenge yourself. Have I put God first in my life? As we enter into a new year, will I put God first in my life? Yes, God first when it comes to our time. Do we give our time to God? Do we give him first option as far as our time concerns? Or our talents? Have we given God our talents? Are we using the talents that can be used for the blessing of the work of God? Are we giving God the money that we need to give him? Are we contributing to the local church? Are we giving our tenth to the Lord, our possessions, and so on? So the Lord is speaking here about our priorities, and we need to get them right. Now that brings me to the portion that I want just to concentrate on tonight. And here in verse 25, Jesus says this as he preaches this message. He says, therefore, because of what I've already said about these other matters, I say unto you, take no thought for your life what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? And you know, the Lord Jesus says the reason why many people put themselves before God and lay up for themselves treasure upon earth is because they're anxious about their own material needs. And he's speaking about being anxious, about being concerned about the material things of life. You see, he's turning from hypocrisy and sincerity and idolatry, and he's speaking to them now about anxiety and concern for the material things of life. We live in a materialistic age. There's no question about that. In fact, the age we live in is the Laodicean age, if you want to go by the seven churches in Revelation, the beginning of Revelation. The last church was the church at Laodicea, and it's known as the church. That's full of materialism, and the Lord has to rebuke them. And so he says, take no thought for your life. It doesn't mean that you're to be careless about your life and neglect your body and your health. It doesn't mean that at all. The people that he was talking about here were concerned. In fact, they were full of anxiety and worry about the material things that they felt they needed, the everyday things of life. And I want to focus in tonight on this because I believe that we're facing here something that Jesus is underlining, and it's a thing called anxiety, or worry, if you want. And I would say without doubt that each one of us gathered here this evening, we all know about worry. Because it's a natural thing. We have a nature, and our nature is prone to be concerned and to worry. And you know, friends, sometimes our life can be consumed by worry. Worry and anxiety is a serious problem. Dr. Walter Covert reported a survey on worry that indicated that only 8% of the things that people worry about were legitimate matters of concern. The other 92% were either imaginary, never happened, or involved matters which were beyond people's control. If you got the Oxford Dictionary and look up worry, this is what it says. It says, no rest or peace of mind. That's worry. Giving way to anxiety. Letting the mind dwell on troubles or burdens. Warren Wordsby said the Greek word translated anxious and worry means to be pulled in different directions. He goes on to say it means being pulled apart, to strangle. Worry, pulls a person apart. It pulls them in different directions. It brings them to the place where they don't know what to do or who to turn to or what to think. And it can get a grip of us that doesn't do us any good at all. It is damaging to our lives physically. Worry has effects physically, brings about headaches and stress, grows ulcers. People lose their appetite. It brings about heart damage and so on. And yet we see that this is the effect that it can do if you let it get control of your life. It has an effect mentally as far as our thinking and reasoning is concerned. And of course it has an effect spiritually, because if we're so wound up and so full of worry and doubt and care, then it takes away our effectiveness for God. While we're on our knees praying, our mind is all over the place. And I'm sure that many of you have experienced that. So the Lord Jesus is confronting them here about anxiety and worry. And he says to them, take no thought for your life what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? So he's underlining the problem of worry. And it is a problem, and I've seen it in the places that I've been pastor. I can say that that on two occasions, on two occasions, that our phone rang at one occasion was about 3:30 in the morning, and the other occasion was about 5:30 in the morning, and it was a woman or different woman at that particular time, and they were full of worry. I had to get out of bed, get the car out, go to where they lived, and went in, spent time with them around the Word of God, and man, that's the effect that it can have. And we all, I'm sure, here would know that we have our worries. But the Lord Jesus now, he begins to show them how to overcome it. He begins to teach these people how they can conquer this anxiety and this worry that brings them to the place where they're laying up treasures on earth instead of laying up treasures in heaven. And he says here this, he uses an illustration. He says, "Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of them." And the Lord is laying the foundation to show them how to overcome. He's showing them what God is able to do for the fowls of the air and for the flowers of the field. And he says here then, "Wherefore if God so clothe the grass of the field, which is today, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith?" O ye of little faith. You know, friends, the Lord uses the fowls of the air and the flowers of the field to show these people that he's ministering to that God, who provides and cares for the creatures and the creation that he made, my, if God provides for them, how much more will he provide for you and I? And if God watches over them, how much more will he care for you? And he's exhorting them here to trust God to supply their need, and to trust God with their problems, and to trust God with the different eventualities in life. And he's exhorting them to trust him to supply their need for tomorrow. He says down in verse 30 here, "Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which is today, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O you little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things." My, this is the Lord showing these people how to deal with anxiety and worry and concern. There's a lovely little thought in here. Notice the times the Lord Jesus, as he preached to them, refers to your father, or your heavenly Father in the sermon. My, he uses the phrase in the whole three chapters of Matthew, where we have this record of the Sermon on the Mount. He keeps talking and he keeps directing them and he keeps leading them to their heavenly Father. The fact that there's a Father in heaven and they have a heavenly Father. And brethren and sisters, tonight, I don't know what your worries are. I don't know what your problems may be or your troubles may be. But let me tell you this, Oh, that we would be reminded time and time again that we have a Father in heaven. We have one who is our Heavenly Father. Let's see the kind of Father that we have. When you look at chapter 6 and verse 1, he talks about the Father. Take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. You see, he's a loving Father. We have a loving Heavenly Father this evening. In spite of the world in which we live in. In spite of the problems, in spite of our own faults, we have a loving Heavenly Father, a Father in heaven who loves us. In verse 4, it says in chapter 6, and thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. You see, he's not only a loving Father, but he's a giving Father. He'll reward us openly, it says. Yes, things of all the good things that God gives us. Think of all the good things that God gives us from one year's end to the other. When we come to verse 8 in chapter 6, it says, Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before you ask him. You know, friends, our Father in heaven looks after us day by day. And he knows what we need even before we ask him. Our Father who loves us and cares for us, I'm sure that as he looks at us, he knows our need even before we bring it to him. He's a knowing Father, a loving Father, a giving Father, a knowing Father. In verse 14 it reads, for if ye forgive men their trespasses, your Heavenly Father will also forgive you. And he's a forgiving Father. And down in verse 32 of the same chapter, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek, but your Heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. My dear friends, what a lovely thought. What a great truth. What a comforting truth tonight in the world in which we live, in the day in which we live, in the cost of living crises and all the problems that there are, not only in our land, but in our churches and throughout our nation. And yet, you know, we have a Heavenly Father who knows our name, who cares for us, and he knows our need even before we bring it to him. You see, what does he know about us? What does he know about us? Your Heavenly Father knoweth, says the Lord Jesus, that you have need of these things. Well, what does he know about us? You know, friends, our Father in heaven, he knows our fears tonight. He knows our fears. We may have many fears. I never met a human being yet who hadn't fears of something. Some may like you to think they have no fear, but there's fears for our health. There's material needs. There's young people who fear the exam or exams they need to sit. Fears for the family. Fear of failure. But you know, friends, our Heavenly Father knows our fears. And you know, he knows our feelings. He knows how we feel physically. He knows when we're tired, when we're drained, when we're unwell. He knows when we need rest. He knows how we feel mentally. You may be mentally exhausted. He knows how you feel emotionally. If you're disappointed and let down and there's pain in our heart, he knows how you feel and how you are spiritually tonight. God knows us. He sees us. But in his love and care, he knows all about us, where we are in our spiritual journey. Dear friends, he knows our fears. He knows our feelings. He knows our foes. He knows those things that are against us. He knows the temptations we have to face from the evil one each day. He knows about depression. He knows about opposition, and we could go on tonight. Our fears, our feelings, our foes. He knows our footsteps. It says, he knoweth my path. The Lord knoweth my path tonight. And yes, he knows our future. It was the psalmist who penned those words, my times are in thy hands. You know, there's no better place for your life and my life to be as we enter into a new year with all its uncertainty, as you enter into a new phase in your church life. And you know, friends, the Lord knows what's best for the future. He knows what's best. That's why we need to come to him. We're in his hands. What a great place to be in. My dear friends, because your heavenly Father knoweth. He knows what things we have need of even before we ask him. And the Lord is saying to this people that he's ministering to and preaching this sermon to, the Lord is saying to this people, put God first. Put God first. There's no need to worry. There's no need to be gripped and overcome by worry and care and a sense of helplessness. The Lord is in control. There's no need to worry. You see, what Jesus is seeking to teach these people, that instead of worrying and being filled with anxiety, he's seeking to teach them that just as God, their heavenly Father, looks after the fowls of the air and clothes the lily of the field with all its beauty, and as he cares for them, he cares even more for us, whom he gave his Son to die for at Calvary. And as we enter into the coming year with all its uncertainty, may God give us faith in the sovereignty of God. The sovereignty of God helps us to go on because we know that God is in control. No matter what's happening in the Ukraine, and we pray for that needy land and all that's going on and all the terrible things that is happening. But remember this, that God is in control. And friends, we need faith not only in the sovereignty of God, that he's in control, but faith in the sufficiency of God, that the Lord is sufficient. And faith in the ability of God. And when we get that faith and look up and see the God who is our Father in heaven, may we find peace and contentment and surety as we face the days to come. So this is just a little message tonight. It's one of the Master's messages. And I thought that in this message, there were words of comfort. Words of comfort that come from the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And may it challenge our hearts and be a blessing to us to know that our Heavenly Father knoweth what we have need of even before we bring it to him. Let us pray for a moment. Father, we come to thee tonight. We thank you for the messages, Lord, that you preached on your days upon earth. We thank you, Lord, how you spoke as one having authority and not as the scribes. We thank you that you spoke as the Son of God, the one who had come to bring the message of God and the grace of God to the people. And we pray that, Lord, as we read these messages in our Bible from day to day, and as we consider them these few nights, O Lord, we pray that we might hear your voice, Lord. We pray that you would speak to each one of us through your word and through your message, and help us, Lord, to seek to give ourselves to thy will and to trust thee every day. For Christ's sake, amen. Amen.